stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
And now it's time for the best morning show on radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio in Studio City, California. Get ready for Sam in the Morning.
There we go. Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's May 23rd. Thank you for joining me yet once again. I hope you listened to the show yesterday because we had a great, great guest, Billy Hayes of the Midnight Express fame. And that was pretty interesting. So I enjoyed it a great deal. I hope you did too. And today I have a very special guest in the studio. Bring up your mic. Good morning.
Good morning, Sam.
Welcome to the show. And we have Neda on the mic, right? Did I pronounce it correctly?
Yes, you did. Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. So, well, welcome to the show. And we're going to be talking about you mostly.
Okay.
Find out a little bit about you and stuff. And we'll talk about things that are happening in the world. I just wanted to bring up the fact that, did you hear about the soldier in London that got hacked to death and stuff?
I did.
Yeah, and they showed it on TV, and they're showing the guy that killed him. I don't know if you saw that, but there was footage, and his hands were bloody. He was full of blood. He had like a knife and a meat cleaver or something, and he was just talking to the camera, you know, saying you will never be safe again, you know.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Yeah.
All these terrorist attacks, my goodness.
I know, and yeah, so they're attributing it to a terrorist attack, and which it probably is. I don't know, you know, those were like immigrants from Africa, but I don't know what the motive was, but I mean, they totally hacked that soldier to death, you know. So,
I mean, really, what is the motive behind any terrorist attack?
Yeah, you got to get a little closer to the mic so we can hear you.
Oh, I said, really, what is the motive behind any terrorist attack?
Well, the motive is to scare people to death, I think, so you'll capitulate to what they want.
Evil, you know? Evil people.
A lot of evil people in the world, I know. But still, you got to keep a positive outlook, you know, because otherwise, man, it'll make you crazy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that these people are in custody, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, they deserve to be hung by their testicles, I think.
But I definitely agree with you on that one.
Yeah, so we'll see if they'll do that.
Yeah, so maybe they could feel some of the pain that they're causing.
Yeah. There you go. So, well, so you're in L.A. now, obviously.
Yes.
Did you grow up here in L.A.?
No, I didn't. I actually was born in Chicago, and then...
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
we had a girl
city.
From Chicago here yesterday. Yeah, that's cool. What a small world.
Yeah, spreading the Chi-Town love all over Los Angeles. So I'm originally from Chicago. I moved to San Diego when I was 13 years old. I'm 25 now, so, you know.
So you moved with the family, I would imagine, right?
Yes. I did.
So now, how was your childhood in Chicago? Were you a happy kid? I mean,
oh my goodness, I loved Chicago. I grew up, you know, like as if you would see in the movies with the lake, the bike riding with the friends, and just you know, a happy little camper. Things are so different in Chicago than they are in California.
Yeah,
so.
I'm sure. Especially the weather, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely the weather. Let me tell you about that one. I don't have any frostbite here in Los Angeles.
No, you don't. You don't. You definitely don't, you know. And there's not a lot of fashion here because we only wear T-shirts and jeans, you know. So there's not a lot of fashion. I always say that in the cold places, there's a lot more to wear, you know, a lot more. You know, you wear a coat, you wear a a scarf, you know, and boots and things like that, you know.
In wintertime, definitely. It's so much more spruced up. Like, you got your, you know, different color boots going on. You got girls have their, like you said, your scarf, your hat, you know. It's more winterized and fashionable.
Exactly. You know, and here we have the same all the time, you know. So it's hard to really get excited about fashion here, you know. Of course, women is different, you know. But for men, it's like, come on, you know. I mean, a T-shirt and the jeans. What else the hell am I going to wear, you know?
Very true.
So, so you try to find nice jeans and nice T-shirts and nice
I mean, I wish nice you shoes. Gentlemen had the same problematic issues as we have as women, trying to go and find different things and, you know, for different seasons and put it together. You guys can just wear the same thing all year long.
That's true.
And be cool with it. Nobody says anything.
Exactly. But women are expected to wear something different every time.
Yeah. And they're supposed
to always look beautiful and. Yeah, I hear you.
And they're expected to meet up to all four seasons. You know, you have to have the summer look. I mean, today I'm wearing neon yellow jeans to try to, you know, make that sunny fashion look fit
cool.
for summer.
Yeah, well, it's almost summer here, so yeah, definitely. And I like yellow. Is that what you're wearing, the yellow pants?
Yeah,
oh, that looks cool.
Yellow.
Yeah, that looks cool.
It's such a hot color for summer. So
is it like,
oh my gosh,
like this year, right?
Oh,
especially?
Definitely. This year and last year, surprisingly. I was really surprised to see a comeback for this year. I saw so many different celebrities, you know, rocking this color as far as, you know, denim goes. I saw it in skirts. I saw it in shirts, little tidbits like a belt, a purse. So many different neons that are coming back this summer. And just adding that splash to your outfit really can bring the whole thing together.
Yeah, cool. So are you into clothes? I mean, you like dressing up and stuff like that?
Oh, my gosh. I love fashion.
Really?
I've been a fashionista, I think, since the day that I was born.
Really?
Yeah, my sister, she was taking fashion merchandising in high school. And I remember... we're 7 years apart, so I was 7 years old when she was a freshman in high school, and I'd always like watch her, you know, make all these interesting things, and I'd be like her little model and try or guinea pig and try on these outfits. And you know, I remember at that age, it's something that I really started to get into.
Yeah. So. Well, that's cool. So so you went to school there, I imagine. Did you start getting into hobbies, activities, things like that? Hobbies, the things that you liked?
Yeah, well, you know, in high school, you kind of somewhat have a little bit of an idea of the things that you, you know, you like to do. You don't, I don't think I really started to get to know what I like to do and a little bit more about myself until I got to college, where I really explored and was on my own.
So you sort of coasted through high school.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want anything too serious to think about.
Yeah, and you know, the crazy thing is I was never a jock. I was never a musician. I was never, you know, any of that stuff, really.
Right.
I was kind of, you know, just into my homework, my schoolwork, and volunteering and stuff.
Cool.
So.
Awesome. So you had a good childhood, huh?
I did.
In school and stuff?
I did. Moving out to San Diego was a bit of a change. That's where I started.
Yeah, I can imagine.
School.
Now, why did you move? Was were your parents moving because of work or something? Or
yes.
What happened?
My dad started, he sold off his business in Chicago, so he came out to San Diego and started up a business with one of his friends and did really well. And
That's a big step, huh?
Huge step.
Yeah.
Especially after California.
Right. And when you have a family, too, with kids and all that.
My mother had her own dental practice in Chicago. So she had to, when we moved out here, she had to come and retake all the tests to get California board certified so she can open up her own dental practice.
Right. And then find new patients and all that stuff.
Build that, you know, client base. And it definitely was a big step. I think more for her than
for
any
anyone,
of us.
Huh?
Right.
Cool. So so you moved to San Diego, and so you were still, in middle school at the time?
I was in sixth grade, so I was finishing up my last year of elementary school.
Oh, sixth grade is middle school, isn't it?
In San Diego, it was still part of elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, at least with elementary school I went to.
Yeah. Cool. And how did you adjust to the change? Was that hard?
Yes. It actually was really difficult because, you know, I was used, like I said, I was used to the whole Chicago scene of being on my bike, being a kid, just having fun with friends.
Right.
And then moving out to San Diego at that age, it was like girls at my age were talking about like belly button piercings, wearing crop tops, like talking about highlighting their hair, like all these things that I was just honestly an alien to.
Uh-huh.
So at first it was really difficult for me to, you know, adjust and find the right crowd of people to really adapt myself into.
Right.
However, over time, you know, it wasn't until like maybe my senior year of high school where where I really felt like I fit into California, because it was just really that struggle. Like, I was a chubby kid. I had acne, I had braces. So moving out to the state of beauty was at the age that I was at wasn't exactly, the
perfect. It's funny, but you already noticed that at a young age, huh? That yes. California is different.
Absolutely. At 12 years old.
Everybody's beautiful.
I know, my goodness. And so there definitely was that pressure to conform to, you know, external beauty.
Right.
But, you know, my parents have always kind of been my leaders, have been, my advice givers. So growing up with that kind of, perspective of, you know, trying to conform to the external beauty, they always told me, like, all that matters is, you know, who you are, because your beauty is going to fade. Don't work on trying to like make yourself beautiful, because one day it's just going to go away anyway. And all you're going to have is who you are.
Yeah,
so, you know, work
true.
On that.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but looks still matter. I mean, you know, by the time you lose your looks, you've lived many years, you know.
That's true. I mean, I always say too, your external beauty, for, you know, like going to the gym, tanning, that kind of, you know, grooming is
right.
also, you know, very important. It's a representation of how you feel on the inside.
Yeah,
as well.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. But you got good advice, you know, because people, I think especially teenagers, they get caught up in how they look and everything. That, you know, and some people grow up and they're still like that, you know.
It's crazy.
I mean, look at these women that go through all the surgery and all the work on their face and on their body, and it's, it's pathetic the way they end up looking.
Yeah,
you know?
And honestly, like, those are the people half the time that, like, I just want to avoid, because you can't have a conversation with them. You really can't. Like, I mean, you can,
distracted.
But it's very surface.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, in depth. There's not really, I don't want to judge people, though.
But there's the LA look, you know, which is, all these Beverly Hills housewives and all that stuff, you know. They all have that look, you know, with the chubby lips and the sharp nose and the cheekbone implants and things like that, you know.
And their eyes, don't move
eyes,
when they smile.
Yeah, facelifts and stuff. So it just seems like second nature for everyone. And you know what? Look, I can sort of relate, you know, because I'm getting up there in age and I'm starting to think, well, I'm over 50 and it's not the same anymore. You know, I got to like think of, losing your youth and all that stuff. But I would never get a surgery or anything, you know.
Right.
It's just, but I can see where people start freaking out because of their age, you know.
Well, and men have it so much easier than women.
You
they,
think?
Oh, of course. Men, in my personal opinion, I think men get better looking with age.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
I think George Clooney is a perfect example
yeah.
of that, too. But, as men age, they don't have the same pressures as, you know, women aging.
Yeah.
Women are kind of expected to maintain this youthful, young, thin, image.
Right.
And as your body just naturally gets older, it just doesn't do that anymore.
Right, exactly. And, you know, especially difficult is the fact that I read a survey the other day that I guess about, they asked men and women, do you prefer to be with older people of the opposite sex or younger? 82% of the men said they prefer to be with younger women.
Oh, my gosh.
Which means, you know, now it doesn't mean like really young. It just means younger than they are,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I think it's just by nature that way. And what happens to women then when they grow older, they fear that nobody's going to look at them, you know.
Right.
And I think that's the problem. So they become cougars. And
then
they find younger men who are totally turned on by them. You know.
And isn't that just hilarious that the younger guys go for the older girls, but then the older guys will go for the younger girls?
Exactly. Everybody always wants what they don't have, you know.
Right. It's too funny.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, it makes me wonder sometimes, because like for example, like I read on Alec Baldwin yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's 55.
And
his wife is 29.
29?
Yeah, 29, yeah.
Only 4 years older than me. Why couldn't it have been me? I love Alec Baldwin. I think I think he's just hilarious.
So you wouldn't mind that he's 55 years old and you're 24? It would make a difference.
Well, I think it just depends on maybe what he's expecting out of life right now. Yeah. And me being, 25, what I'm expecting, I'm still, wanting a family, wanting to get married.
Right. Well, he got his wife pregnant. I mean, they're having a family. Yeah.
So if he still wanted a kid, then sign me up. Like, Alex, if you're out there listening,
we'll talk to him about
it. Give us a call.
I mean, he became chubby over the years, and then he got okay again, right?
I mean,
he was like overweight for a while there, I remember.
I mean, I still think he's gorgeous.
he is, and it's totally, it's amazing that his brothers tried to make it, and they were okay for a while, but they all disappeared, and he's still out there,
And you know what the crazy thing is? It's like so many girls are into this, six-pack and big muscle thing. I don't know why. Like, honestly, I think it's the biggest turnoff when a guy has, like, an 8-pack and is like...
Really?
I don't know why.
You don't like that, huh?
Well, I think it's just like, okay, like, he spends so much time at the gym. He spends way too much time on his diet. I mean, and if that's your thing, wonderful. Like, I just think that it's important to have a balance.
Right.
To eat the things that are good for you, but... you can cheat here now and then. Why not?
For sure, yeah.
And then, to maintain a healthy exercise diet, not to live in the gym like half the time.
Yeah, I know. Do you maintain a strict diet or anything?
No.
About the things that you eat? Do you eat just about anything?
No. I stick within. I don't like sit there and count calories or do Weight Watchers or do any of that. And for people that does work for, I think it's wonderful. But for me, I just like to eat. I like to look at the food pyramid as kind of a reference. I don't go by it 100%, but I know, for example, white meat is better for you than dark meat. So a lot of the times I'll go for the white meat versus the dark meat.
Right.
Rice, I go for the brown rice versus the white rice. Veggies, we'll eat those. If I want French fries on a Friday, Saturday night, heck, I'll go for that.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to live.
Good, yeah, definitely.
It's not all about external beauty. It's not about all about, your figure. It is a little bit, but, you don't want to get all crazy and have that be your life.
Yeah, well, in L.A., people get preoccupied with it. But at the same time, like you said, when the chips are down, it's like, what matters is on the inside as well. And also when you meet a new partner for life, so they look great and everything, but you have to deal with the personality. You have to deal with the temperament,
Right, and it's crazy because an ugly personality, an ugly personality will destroy a beautiful face.
Yeah. Yeah,
destroy it.
That's true.
Like, initially you might see somebody and be like, oh my goodness, they're beautiful. And then you go and talk to them and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, you're like, you look so much better when you did not open your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. Keep it shut.
Right. And then there's an average Joe Schmo that just is very, normal looking and has the best personality. And to me, they'll look like the most beautiful person.
Yeah.
I can't stop. I'll be, connected to them. Like, a magnet is drawing me in and luring me into their personality.
Right.
You want to get to know them.
Yeah, that's true. So do you have male friends, too? I mean, that you can share things with and things like that? Or you mainly female friends?
I'd say both. I mean, it really just depends. I'd say my best friends are my cousins. My cousins are like my siblings.
Really?
Oh my gosh,
wow, how cool. Do they live out here too?
Today's actually one of their birthdays.
Oh, wow.
Happy birthday, Vita, if you're listening. But yeah, it's one of their birthdays, and we're going to just, go out to Hookah Lounge, have some dinner, that kind of thing. But yeah, my cousins are either in Los Angeles. I have some in San Jose. I have some in San Diego. So.
Oh, wow. So the whole family kind of moved to California.
Yeah,
huh?
We all kind of migrating in this beautiful state over here.
I'm telling you, wow. So you probably have a big family then, right? With all the family out here and everything.
My immediate family is not that big. I have a brother and a sister, and then my mother and father.
Right.
And then my cousins, I'd say I have about 10, 11 cousins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's so kind of big.
Yeah, that keeps it pretty happy.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, the closest thing to me. So, I mostly share everything with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So do you have so you said you have a best friend and stuff. So that's cool. I mean, it's always nice to have people, you know, that are in your life and you can share things with and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? So that's cool. So I guess since middle school, when you started here, I guess you found your place in San Diego and feeling comfortable and everything and moving on. So then you went to college, did you say?
Yes, I actually...
Where did you go?
I migrated back to the Midwest.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, it was crazy because, like I said, growing up in California, it was wonderful, beautiful state, but there was something about the Midwestern hospitality and just being in the Midwest that I really missed.
Right.
So I applied to Purdue University my senior year of high school, got accepted.
Wow.
And
excuse me. We got to treat you with a lot more respect now. Purdue.
I lived in the middle of Indiana in all the cornfields. So that.
Wow.
So coming from Chicago to San Diego and then back to Indiana was certainly quite the weather change.
I can imagine. Wow. So now, did you want Purdue specifically, or did you apply with a few schools?
I applied for a few schools. I didn't know yet at the time which one was my number one.
Right.
But then when I went to go visit Purdue with my father on orientation day, I fell in love.
Really?
I just loved it. Like, if you haven't been to the Midwest during fall, it is the most beautiful time to be in the Midwest, even more than winter. I mean, it depends if you like the winter or not.
Right.
I love the winter. But for fall, it's just gorgeous. The leaves, the ambiance, you won't get a Midwest fall in California.
Yeah,
unless you're in Northern California.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you won't get it. And so being there in the fall and, you know, going there for orientation and seeing all the kids, it was just... I mean, me, myself, I was a kid at the time. I'm saying kids now. But seeing all the other students, I was so excited. And I was like, this is it. I have to come here. So.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So you must have done pretty well in high school to be accepted.
I did okay. Yeah. I think my test scores were a lot better than my actual grades.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think my test scores and my application were what drew me in.
Wow,
I mean,
that's pretty cool.
Grades, I was always an okay student in high school. It wasn't until I got to college where I really knew what I wanted to study that I started to really apply myself.
Cool. Now, were your family in college too, your parents and that? I mean, did they go to college in their time? So you come from an educated family.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. Well,
education.
That's why you're doing well. It helps when your parents, you know, push you and stuff and inspire you.
Yeah, I mean, my parents are Persian, so, like, education is, like, all they ever say. Education, like, go get your master's. You're so
and they're right.
Education.
They're right, you know.
I'm like, but wait, what about the experience? Yeah. Like, I have to, get, you know, be able to apply the education somewhere.
Right.
And so, they've always kept me up to a high standard. And I remember actually when I was in elementary school, it wasn't until I actually really messed up on a project where my mom, she saw the project and was like, what is this? And she took it and she ripped it and was like, you need to redo this project.
Wow.
And up to my standard.
Uh-huh.
And I remember taking that experience and having it be like, wow, why did I create that initial, you know, trash that she ripped up when I could have created this.
Right.
And when I had redone the project, she loved it. She was like, oh my gosh, this is why I ripped it. This is what you can do.
Right.
And so, she always kept me up to high standard.
Yeah, keep you on your toes.
Definitely.
Well, so what did you major in?
I double majored in communication and sociology, and then I minored in religious studies.
Wow, so you got a lot of different interests and things like that.
Yeah.
What drew you to religious studies? That's interesting.
Everybody always asks me that.
Yeah.
It's really random.
It is.
Well, religion is something that has always fascinated me, just because people surround their lives by it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once somebody is religious, that form of, you know, whatever religion you are, whether it be Christian, Catholic, Mormon, you follow and you sacrifice your life for, you know, that religion. So I wanted to be educated on what all the religions were, the religions of the East, religions of the West, early Confucius religion, Chinese religion. So I studied, you know, the different kinds of religions, and then, you know, I was able to kind of pick for myself what I believe in.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people will just pick one religion and then close their minds off to everything else.
Right. So. No, that's cool. And besides, you know, I mean, you majored in something else, so it's not like it was just religion where you wouldn't find a job doing that.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, communication and sociology ultimately kind of, you know, go together.
Right.
So I thought that studying different groups of people and trying to understand groups of people and, you know, the communication that goes on within those groups and then with other types of people outside the group were, you know, really interesting.
Yeah, so it's really, really about people. I mean, that's what you were... It seems like, you know, you're not into like accounting and business and stuff like that. You're more into people, you know, sociology and, you know, and religions and so forth. Communication, that's all about people, you know. So
well, I mean, that's life,
interaction.
Right?
Yeah, there you go.
People, I mean, people are always like, communication, like that must have been so easy. I'm like, no, it's actually very, like, believe it or not, it's actually pretty challenging.
Yeah.
At Purdue, like, you couldn't just sign up and, you know, declare communication as one of your majors. You had to have 3.5 GPA in order to enter, you know, the program.
Right.
So studying different types of communication, you have presentational communication, you have interpersonal communication, you have business communication, you have, you know, political communication. There's so many different types of communication.
Right.
And it's what I found is communication is the essence of life. It's what we do to communicate with one another.
That's true.
And if you could understand it and master it, heck, why not?
There you go. And now you're communicating with the world nonstop.
Right? Half the problems that we have in the world are due to a lack of communication.
That's true.
If you really think about it.
That's true. Or because of religion.
Yeah, or because of religion. Definitely.
Wow. So now, so what, I mean, did you start pursuing your career with these degrees, or what did you decide you're going to do after college?
Well, after college, I started interning with San Diego 6 News, the CW. So at the time, I thought that I really wanted to go into broadcast journalism.
Mm.
So I went and I interned with them, and it was okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that news was something that was fit for me.
Right.
But it was a really great learning experience.
Yeah, get closer to the mic.
It was a really great learning experience.
Right.
I entered underneath Alex Michelson, which is actually one of ABC's biggest anchors right now.
Really?
Yeah, he's in LA. Uh-huh. He was in San Diego at San Diego 6 News at the time.
Uh-huh.
And then underneath another entertainment anchor as well. So I was able to, you know, study weather. I was able to do entertainment. And then I was also able to do sports and then hard news. So I was kind of able to get a glimpse of each facet of the business.
Right. So, but you definitely want to get into broadcasting and stuff like television, whatever.
Well, not news, but definitely some sort of television and commercial work as well.
Yeah, yeah. I know news is too hard, you know, because you have to also pursue some stories and stuff yourself, you know, even when you're the anchor. And that's a lot of work.
Right.
You know, a lot of work. I remember I took journalism in college, and you constantly have to chase people down for interviews and, you know, be a pain in the butt for them. And I thought, that's not for me, man. I don't want to do this anymore.
You know, it's crazy because right after the internship, I still thought I wanted to do it. I just thought, you know, maybe I won't do news. Maybe I'll do entertainment or something.
Right.
So I applied to get my master's in journalism at DePaul University in Chicago. And I got accepted.
Wow.
But then I got an amazing job with the CEO of American Apparel, you know, traveling and being in his international retail development, you know, department.
How cool.
So,
how did you get into that?
Well, I just kind of applied to it.
Oh,
applied
really?
For it. You know, it's crazy. I found a posting on it, and I applied for, you know, the program. I met them down at San Diego American Apparel and, you know, toured the store, talked to them a little bit, and then they were like, all right, do you want to jump on board?
Wow.
And I was like, okay. So I deferred my admission to work with the company for a year.
Yeah.
And during that year when I worked in business, I just realized I didn't really want to do news anymore.
Yeah.
Huh? So I just didn't go get my master's. Well, I mean, in pursuing your master's, it's very timely and it's very expensive.
Yeah.
So you have to make sure it's something that you 100% want to do.
That's true. Yeah. It's a lot of work, you know, definitely a lot of work. I mean, I sometimes think of going back and getting the master's because I like learning. I like school, you know, college at least. And
where did you go to school?
I went to school at, I graduated from CSUN here, from Cal State Northridge.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's no Purdue or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
No UCLA, but at least it was close to home and I could work.
Right, and I'm sure they had a good journalism program.
Well, no, I didn't go for journalism there. I just took a journalism course when I was at Pierce College here.
Oh, I see.
And then I transferred to CSUN and I majored in marketing, in business.
Okay.
So, so that was that, you know. But, no, to me it was... College is important, but I can't put my life on hold and go somewhere else. You know,
right.
It just didn't work. So because we had a family business at the time and stuff, and I needed to be here. But at the same time, I enjoy school greatly, you know. And I found that when I went back to school later in my life, I went right after high school. I dropped out of college, and then I went back when I was about 26. So... it was a totally different thing, you know, because when you're older, you approach it differently. It's not like a continuation of high school,
right.
You know, where you feel that you have to be there. So when you're older and you approach it like in a business manner, then you do a lot better, you know. And I graduated with honors and everything. I was never a great student, you know, because I was always like distracted. I always liked to play around high school and things like that, you know.
Me too.
So, yeah, socialize and, you know, you're not really into school. So then when I got into college, it was like, wow, you know, this is like a whole new world for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I enjoyed a great deal. And like you said, it is time consuming for a master's degree. But maybe I'll do it, you know, just for myself, you know, not to try and get any job or anything, but for your own, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll take religion.
Religious studies. Right. No, I mean... Like, it's crazy because at Purdue there were people that were, older as well in some of our classes, and they were our best students.
Yeah.
Like, half the time the other people weren't even paying attention.
I know. They're
sleeping.
Like...
But there are people that were a little bit older. I mean, because it's more of a will to want to be there.
Right.
You know? And,
right.
They have more of, an exceptional, energy to be there. It's not so much, like you said, a continuation of high school.
Right.
It's a more mature approach.
Right, exactly. You know, and I approach it like I do business, and I thought, okay, this is what I need to do. These are the grades I need to get. Mm-hmm. And I did whatever I needed to get there, you know. Mm-hmm. Developed like study methods and things like that. And graduated college at 30, actually. And
That's
felt good.
That's not old. You made it sound like you were
I said older, you
yeah,
know.
Older.
Like just going to college at 26, 27 is, is later than most people. Because
mm-hmm.
most people go right after high school, or maybe they take a year off and then come back and stuff, you know. So, now do you, I would imagine you probably like to travel, right? Everybody does.
I love traveling.
So what are some of the places you've been to that you like?
I've been to Russia, I've been to Iran, I've been to Australia, I've been to Italy, I've been to France, I've been to Switzerland, I've been to China, I've been to Japan.
So you've been all over.
Yeah. And
wow, how cool.
My parents, like I said, they are really into education and into exploring different places and learning about different cultures, different environments, and just different people.
Right.
And so as a child, I never appreciated it until I was like 17, 18 years old. They always, like 12, 13, 14, I know I make it sound so dreadful. They always like drug me along to Italy and took me here. But, you know, as a 12, 13-year-old, you don't really comprehend or understand that you might not get this kind of opportunity later
exactly.
in life. You know,
exactly.
They're taking me to museums, and all I want to do as a 12-year-old is play with my friends.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to go on a tour. I don't want to see this. I don't want to see Statue of David. My gosh. but as I got older and when I went to college, especially in Indiana, I saw that not everybody really has that kind of opportunity and to embrace it and to ever since I had traveled after that, I really have engulfed myself into everywhere that I've been.
Wow.
So
that's pretty good. So where, what do you prefer? Asia, Australia, Europe? What do you like better?
Well, Italy by far was my favorite place to go, by far.
A lot of people love Italy, huh?
Yeah, I went there. I had gone twice with my parents, and after the second time, I was like, I need to live here one day. I will live here one day. And so 3 years later, I lived there for 2 months. I studied abroad.
Really?
Yeah. So.
What city were you in?
I was in Florence.
Really? Oh, wow.
It was cool. But I would have to say out of everywhere I've been, the coolest place I've ever been was China.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How long ago were you there?
I was there in 2007.
Oh, okay. So about 6 years ago.
Yes.
Wow. Did you enjoy it?
Oh, my gosh. I loved it.
Where did you go? You went on the Great Wall and everything?
Yeah. We went to Shanghai, Beijing, Chongqing. We went to Xi'an to see the Terracotta Warriors. We went up a cruise up the Yangtze River. And it just wasn't – like, it was just so different compared to everywhere else that I had been. Like, the people are all very different. You know, the food is so
different. The food
different.
Is different.
It is not like P.F. Chang's. It is not like Panda Express. That is a very Americanized version of what Chinese food is.
Yeah.
So, very exotic.
Yeah. Were you able to eat the food there?
I did. I love food. So for me, the only place I've ever had problems eating food in a different country was Russia. That was very
difficult. Was it gross?
It's just like, I remember seeing this huge like sausage, and it wasn't even just like a normal sausage. It was like almost like a worm. It was like, it was huge. I just remember seeing, I'm like, what is that? And I don't know, just for me, at the age that I was at, I don't think that I was ready for it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
So I stuck to fruits and veggies on that trip.
Yeah.
But when I was in Italy, kind of put on 20 pounds there. With
Italy's easy, huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I come home from the airport, or I come home, my dad picks me up at the airport, and he goes, oh, my gosh, you put on 20 pounds. I'm like, thanks. Dad, like, so sweet of you. Great to see you too. He's like, you must have really enjoyed that pizza out there. I was like, funny.
So you lived in Firenze.
So
for 2 months, huh?
Yeah.
That you didn't know the language or anything, right? Had you learned any Italian before that at all?
I was studying the Italian language while I was out there because I was doing a study abroad with Purdue. So we had to take two classes.
Oh.
So I took the Italian language. I took the Italian language, and then I also took Italian culture and society.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, and one thing that I definitely learned is that Italians do not like Americans.
No.
Luckily, I don't look American.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know, I'm reading, I've said this before, I'm reading Amanda Knox's book. Mm-hmm. Remember her? She was busted in Italy for murdering her roommate and everything. She's like
a
Seattle
girl.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, so she was in jail for 4 years and then they let her go.
Uh-huh.
But her story was, she's a college girl, 20 years old, went to Perugia, Italy, and got involved in this murder. And I personally don't think she did it. But what a way to end up when you go to another country to learn, to study, you know? And then she just went like a college student, like you did, ended up being in jail there, you know? And I think what we came away with is Italians don't like Americans. At least I think they made a big deal out of it that she was American. They wouldn't let her go. And So, I mean, did you find out why they don't like Americans then?
Well, yes, I did. And I saw a great example of why they don't like Americans as well. mostly they think that we're, you know, obese, obnoxious, we eat too much, you know. Apparently that's the reasoning of, you know, not liking us. Apparently we're very loud, but I think that they're just as loud.
They're louder. Are you kidding me? Did you ever see the way they drive and the way they talk?
I know.
They always seem like they're shouting, right?
So I was like, hey, man, like, come
on. Relax.
But, you know, the example of what I saw of why they don't like Americans is like, you know, these just like fratty guys, they come. I remember I was in a beautiful, majestic place called Cinque Terre. And I suggest that anybody that is in Italy make the time to go to this place. It's the jewel of Italy. It's called Cinque Terre, and Italians themselves go there to vacation. It's amazing.
Really?
Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Like I said, you have to go. But I was there, and it's a very quiet, like, beautiful place. And then out of nowhere, I'm on the beach, and these Americans are like, you know, on top of this bridge, and they just start screaming, America, best country in the world, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, does somebody, like, have a rock, like a ball or something that I can throw these people? This is so – I finally get why they don't like us. Yeah. But, you know, there were a lot of Italians, too, that were very welcoming and just very kind and, you know, had a lot to share about their own culture. So,
yeah,
you know, there are a lot of good people.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you just got to find them, you know.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that your parents are Persian, right?
Yeah.
And when did they, I guess they're from there, right? Or were they born here, second generation or something?
No, my mother, she was born in Tehran, and she moved out to America when she was 12 years old.
Wow.
And then my father came out here when he was 17.
Oh, okay. And then they met here.
In Chicago, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. So you said you got to go to Iran, right, and visit and stuff?
Yes,
did you visit some family? And
yes, my dad's mother still lives out there. So I had gone twice. Last I went was 9 years ago.
Wow.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so it definitely is very different.
Yeah.
Not at all, though, what you see on the news.
Really?
Not at all.
Would you live there?
No.
Okay.
Never.
All right. So well, they're not lying in the news.
I mean, well, let me tell you why I would never live there.
Right.
Because being a woman in the United States of America, already I feel like I would never want to live anywhere else.
Right.
I feel like I'm, you know, being born in the United States of America as a woman, I'm already one of the luckiest people
very
in the world.
Empowered, right.
Right. There are other countries where you can't even vote, you know,
right.
in their country. In Iran,
right.
women can vote.
Yeah.
So,
well, some countries, they can't even ride a bicycle, for crying out loud. They can't do anything or leave the house without a man.
They can't even show their hair.
Yeah.
Like, so in Iran, it's the same thing. Like you have to, they live underneath a religious regime.
Yeah, Sharia law.
So they have to cover up. And, you know, when I went there too, I had to cover up. But I'd say more of the government is what these newscasts are centralized across. I wouldn't say the civilians are nothing.
They don't care.
No,
about,
they're nothing like what the news portrays them to be. If anything, the Iranian people are so beyond welcoming and so loving. So want to make sure you're always comfortable. They're very good people.
Yeah,
they're not bad people.
I mean,
very
I've met so
people.
Many of them here, you know.
I mean, personally, I've never seen any, you know, suicide bombers, never seen any terrorism attacks. And with my father, you know, going there and, you know, my grandmother living there, she's never seen it. So we're all watching the news and be like, where are these suicide attacks? Nobody's seen them. But, you know, it's a very interesting country.
Yeah.
I think.
Doesn't it irritate you when you see women being treated the way they are, like in Islamic countries?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, huh?
But it sucks because there's really not much you can do about it.
Not much you can do about it, huh?
Right.
Yeah. So they kind of grow up in that, and then I think they grow in a culture of harassment and abuse and groping and, you know, and all these things, and they get away with it, you know? That's why, like, in India now, I mean, they're starting to really crack down on rapes and stuff because it's like, you know, it's so they're so permissive in letting men just abuse women, you know? So, and it happens in many places in the world, you know, that women are like second-class citizens, you know?
And it's
really, I don't think I could live in a place like that.
No, and it's really disgusting, I would say, more than anything. Like,
it is.
There's
even though you study those religions and everything, you still feel it's disgusting, right? It's not like, because I would think if you learned about it, then you would understand, well, yeah, maybe that's why they're doing this and stuff. But still, I mean, you're a Western person, you know, and, you know, from the West, and it doesn't seem right when you go there.
Right. And also, like, people that are there that are underneath the religious regime, not all of them are religious.
Right.
So, but they're commanded to follow this regime.
Right.
So even people that don't believe that they should be wearing, you know, the headscarf and the other stuff, they still have to.
Burqa, right.
Which stinks. Yeah. And so for me, as a woman, you know, Western woman, I don't understand why a woman should have to cover her hair, especially if she doesn't believe in, you know, the religious regime.
Right.
But you can't just, you know, clearly come out and be like, okay, I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
In America, we could.
Right,
You know, I probably couldn't even be talking on a radio station.
That's true. That's true, yeah.
So I'm definitely grateful to, you know, have been a woman here.
Yeah,
in the United
to have
States.
Been born here. Yeah, that's cool. Now, when so these people are like they can't really do anything. So they're just bound by the laws, and even if they're not religious, they still have to go by that law.
Absolutely.
Now, is it easy to immigrate from there if you wanted to? Or
no.
It's not, right?
No. My father's story on how he came here is, like, hilarious. So,
really?
No, it's not easy at all, especially, you know, nowadays.
Like, yeah.
My I've been able to have some family come over on student visas.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll come and they'll, you know, do their undergrad, and then they'll do, you know, their master's, get their PhD, like I said, because, you know, education is very important, you know, in Iran.
Right.
And one thing I would have to say that Iranian students do take their education so importantly.
Yeah.
It's like they're number one next to family.
Right. Well, that's why many of them are very smart, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they come here and you can see they invest money and they succeed, you know.
Yeah, and then,
for sure.
You know, they go through the processes of getting their green card and then their residency and
right.
then, you know, applying for citizenship. But no, it's not like an overnight thing where it's
right.
like, all right, let's just come
yeah,
on
let's
over
move
the U.S.
to America.
And become citizens.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I mean, it is like that, but it's also not like that, you know.
So you think the people that come here leave like on a vacation and then they never go back?
The people that come here?
Yeah. I mean, the people that stay here. Persians that stay
I've
here.
Never heard of that.
No?
I've never heard of it.
So how do they get to immigrate if it's so hard? I mean, if they don't let them leave the country to live in another country, how do you do it?
Well, you know? Again, I think when you're a student and you come on a student visa, you're much more likely to be given the access to come here.
Mm.
But I don't know. The only other person that I know that really came here was my dad's sister.
Mm.
And so he was able to, you know, go through the motions of, you know, getting
right.
here, getting her here slowly, you know, through the green card and then through the
right.
residency. And it takes time.
Yeah,
you know,
it does take time, you know. But, yeah, some countries just won't let you do it. They don't want let you leave, period. It's like you're stuck there for the rest of your life, you
and
know.
And it's crazy because in Iran, like, as a woman, you can't leave the country without your father or your husband's approval,
whoa.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
it is.
I mean, personally, I think that's just absurd. But,
yeah.
Again, a Western woman over here.
Yeah, you know, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, in Saudi Arabia, they can't even leave the house without male companion.
Yeah, they can't drive. They can't
yeah.
rent an apartment.
No, they can't walk outside without a man nearby. You know, I mean, God, you know, how can you live like this? But that's what I'm saying. I mean, that's all they know. So to them, it's not a big deal. You know, this is just the way it is, you know, and they live like that.
I mean, have you ever traveled to any, like, Middle Eastern countries at all?
No, I'm from Israel, and that's the only Middle Eastern country,
cool.
so I can't go to any other Middle Eastern countries, even if I wanted to.
You know, I know a lot of Persian Jewish people. My dad's partner's Persian Jewish. And
right,
also
there's a lot of them.
Right, my
sure.
uncle is too. My uncle is as well, and so, you know, he goes out to Israel a lot, and I asked him, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've heard Israel is so beautiful and an
uh-huh.
amazing country, and are there a lot of, you know, Persian Jewish people there? And he's like, oh my gosh, you wouldn't even believe it,
a
so
lot.
Many. So
yeah.
I think Israel is going to be next for my travel destination.
Really? That would be cool. You would love that a lot, you know, because it does have the Middle Eastern flavor to it, and yet in many ways it's a very advanced country, you know, so it reminds you a lot of the United States, you know. You
oh,
go,
really?
Yeah, you go to a mall and all the brands are like American and European brands, you know, all written in English and stuff, you know.
You know, the CEO of American Apparel, he's from Israel too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's a
wow.
store out in Tel Aviv. And
that's cool.
There, he has 250 stores internationally. So he has like, I think he has like two stores in Israel.
Wow, that's
yeah.
cool. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, all the brand names, the big brands are there, you know, featured in a very advanced country. But, yeah, there's a lot of Persian Jews because of the Babylonian exile, like, you know, way back when the Persians exiled the Jews from Jerusalem and from the land of Israel to Persia. So there was, like, a lot of Jews there.
Right.
And so, and they still are, you know, there still are a lot. So, yeah, and many of them are here buying up L.A. with all their money. I don't know what the hell. They bring all that
sure.
money, you know.
That's true, very true. So you've been out there how many times?
We're in Israel?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I was born there. I grew up and I moved here when I was 16. And then I went back to visit several times.
So you're very familiar with moving to a different place, especially country,
absolutely,
at being at a really young age.
Yeah, and I moved here without my parents. I mean, I lived with my uncle and stuff for a while here.
Wow.
In Vegas,
Wow, as a 16-year-old.
As a 16-year-old, It was the best time, though, let me tell you. We had the best time. It was in the 70s, you know, and free love, free everything, you know, it was the best.
What was Vegas like in the 70s?
Oh, a lot of sand, a lot of dunes. But, no, it was party town big time.
Just
it really was.
Would you say it's more or less party town than it is right
Well,
now?
I don't know now, you know, but the thing is it was different partying, you know. I mean, we would drive on the street, pick up people. People would hand out, like, flyers like, hey, there's a party at the mountains, you know. Go over there and meet you there, you know.
Nowadays, that'd be, like, super scary.
Yeah, you know.
You never know if you'd be coming back from the mountain.
Yeah, you know. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun, and yeah, I enjoyed it there. I enjoyed my teenage years in Vegas. It was fun. But, yeah, moving to another country is definitely a different. It's a tough experience, you know. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave me more than 2 years to stay here, and I've been here for 37 now. So.
Wow. So what brought you to California?
My parents joined me 5 years later in Vegas. They didn't like it, and they moved here to L.A., so I just followed them. You know?
Oh, fantastic.
And I've been here ever since, yeah. So, okay, Neda, well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining me. You're a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having
Very
me.
Very interesting person. A lot of great stuff to talk about. And, So, a lot of fun. Thanks so much for joining
us.
Yeah,
of course.
And good luck.
Wonderful time.
Yeah, good luck with all the other stuff. So, what's in your future? I mean, what you want to be in broadcasting. That's where you're heading.
Well, I'm actually an on-camera host, so I do a lot of hosting. I just have been on CBS's show, National Daytime Talk Show called The Doctors.
Uh-huh.
So, I played a recurring role on that this past season. You can catch it on CBS here in Los Angeles at 2 p.m.
Great. So, you got into acting, too.
Oh, no, it's like what I do basically is I introduce different segments that the doctors are going to be talking about.
I see, okay.
And I don't do it every day. It's sometimes. So I'll act like the situation is happening to me. And then I'll be like, doctors, what do we do about it? Or I'll be inquiring, you know, the latest one we did was about chafing. So when you run, sometimes you get like, you know, bad chafing based on the material that you wear if you're like a runner. So we are talking about, you know, different ways to heal it and, you know, different materials that will, you know, not make you chafe, basically.
Oh,
and then
cool.
Before we did that. We did salmonella and then we did bruising. So I do that. And then I also just worked with Sony on a promo for Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum's new movie. So, you know, just doing some things in entertainment.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You got to be in entertainment if you're in L.A., you know. Is that why you moved here from San Diego?
I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To be with in entertainment and
to
stuff
pursue
like that.
Entertainment,
yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
But not an actress, not a model. None of that. Just an on-camera host. So,
cool.
You know, radio today was my first time, and I think it's so much fun.
You did
so
great.
Different.
Awesome. Do you want people to find you on Twitter, Facebook,
Please,
anything?
Please, find me.
Okay.
my Facebook is facebook.com/NEDAF as in Frank, ARAJI, and then the number one. So
okay.
Neda Faraji, and then you can find me on Instagram, YouTube, and all of that.
Sounds good. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Sam.
All the best, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. To get in contact with the show, please send email to info@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.